Test one. Test. Test. Ben. Ben.
Yeah. Ben. I'm trying to get onto my hotspot because it says my network connection is unstable.
You can get on my hotspot. You know what I mean? My wireless internet connection is what I was referring to.
How's that sound? Okay, so I think I'm on through my hotspot.
You sound good. Your video is a little stuttered, but consistent, which I think is okay. And your audio is great.
Okay.
And that concludes the production part of my responsibility.
And done.
Oh, nice keyboard. Is that an F9 key? Oh,
nice. I was looking for my little ring light here.
Turn on your ring light.
That does happen. Let it shine.
It makes a nice reflect. You look like K2SO.
I just use this thing. It's like literally like a reading light. And so I can't. I need to get something like a ring light. But I like shoving this right towards my lens. And you get the lens flares, and it looks like an old Instagram filter. That one.
Your Zoom conference is brought to you by J.J. Abrams.
there's this flare here. There's this one here.
It's a flare. It's a teats. Should we start recording? Are we already recording?
I'm recording the audio.
Okay, I'm going to record be good. Also the whatever. Record on this computer.
Why this meeting is being recorded.
I don't like there you it. Go. I do not like it. Bop,
there it is again. There's that voice.
I actually came prepared.
What nice. Did you watch? What did you do?
I watched two episodes of The Sweet Tooth.
Whoa!
Oh, fantastic.
And I have a theory. And knowing me, it's probably not a theory. It's something that's totally obvious to everybody else. But I'm super late to pick up on it because that's how I work.
I'm excited.
Ms. Lippy's car is green.
He has antlers, so therefore he's part human, but also part not human?
Like, why?
More to come.
His name is Gus. Why not just making him a talking mule?
Oh, good.
Was it Gus the talking mule? Francis. No.
No, I think that Gus was the mule, the
kick
place
field goals.
Mule. Yeah, kick field right. goals. Francis was the talking mule.
That's right.
Let's check the rule book. Let's see if a deer can even play in the apocalypse.
Well,
there's no rule against it.
Well, we do know there's NFL or football. I don't even know.
Yeah, he could be for the Canadian Football League or Arena, potentially.
Right. That's cool, dude. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah. It also made me very sad a lot. Kind of for the same reasons why I was initially turned off from Lost when it came on, because Lost started with a plane crash, and I was really jumpy about plane crashes in the early part of the century. So, yeah, and I know I'm late to the party, and this was well-worn territory for anybody who listened to the first episode, but it was like, it was a little much for me. And then the parent-child bonding was a little rough for me too, as a parent who writes books for my child. So I don't have to pay for them. Really, it's a cost-saving thing.
We are recording this before I go on an airplane. This episode is dropping with my fate still in the hands of a pilot. So
good luck.
I could be a ghost right now.
You could be. So where are you tempting fate to go?
Raleigh.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Are you going to see the gang?
Yeah, I'll see Jay and Jack and Colleen and the boys and houses and
cool.
Yeah, it's weird because we're doing this a little bit earlier, but that's like one of the pluses of them putting out all the episodes at once.
Yeah, we can go whatever we want. We don't have to wait until Thursday or whatever.
Right. So I recorded I was just telling Ryan, I recorded. This is my third thing I've done today.
Oh, wow.
The Screen Geeks with Jay went out live, so that's already done. I have a Flash Gordon episode for my Patreon that I've recorded and is going to go up on Saturday, so I may also be a ghost when that shows up on all the socials. It's really weird.
That's cool. It's cool that you're like taking the time to work ahead.
Yeah.
Get yourself all set up for ghosting people.
But it's weird. I have a Star Wars episode that's dropping in 2 weeks and then a week on my Patreon. So everything's scheduled. So I'm going to be like that fucking dude. What is it? Laurence Olivier or something in Sky Captain where they like show up at the end and they realize he's been dead for years, but his programming is still sending out rockets and stuff.
I don't remember that part, but that's funny.
Was it Laurence Olivier? It was like an actor who had died and they like reused his footage.
But it also reminded me of, and this is probably my Hacks influence too, after Joan Rivers died, because Joan Rivers was such a promoter, she had all these promoted tweets scheduled. So like all of a sudden she was like, after she was dead, nobody had turned them off. So it's like, hey, buy my cubic zirconia diamond ring. Like all this shit, like from beyond the grave, like one or two got out before somebody shut it down. But
is it warm where you are? Why not try air conditioning?
Oh, rough. Too close.
Okay.
I guess I don't.
Because we're recording a little early, I don't feel like we have any sort of like catching up to do. It's like, Oh, how was your Monday?
It's pretty good.
It's normal. I went to work and I came home. I didn't go to any movies or, you know, I watched Sweet Tooth.
I started Arrested Development season 5.
Oh my God.
Before?
I'd never seen it before.
Which one is that? Is that the one from Netflix?
It's the Netflix has put out 2 seasons.
Okay.
Season 4, and then they went and retooled it to be more like the old episodes. And then season 5, which we're on episode 2 of.
And I don't know if
it's fine.
Yeah.
Please, man.
I was going to say, I don't think I ever finished it. And it wasn't for anything like I started watching it and thought this is shitty. It's just, you know, the way sometimes work, you don't get around to finishing a show. But it was from what I remember, the episodes I saw, I liked it. Like, oh, I don't care that's a cool different format. It was a cool format.
Right.
I kind of got sour. Not like it was too terrible. Like it was, you know, great to see the gang back together. It was kind of weird seeing older Michael Cera like wearing the same outfits. Like I felt bad for him a little bit.
But he's like a producer on the show and wanted to do it.
I understand, but I don't know. But and then that interview came out where it was like the group interview and Jessica Walter accused Jeffrey Tambor of like poor behavior. And there was like some like, so those two things together were kind of a 1-2 punch where like, hey, season 5's out. It's like, all right. Like not like out of protest or anything, but it just, it kind of took the shine off it a little bit for me. Like,
Right. Yeah, it made it less likely something you would do.
Yeah. This is why you didn't give me a microphone before, because I just kind of
Ron Howard down. In the I think the second episode, Ron Howard does take a jab at Jeffrey Tambor not winning any Emmys for portraying a woman. Because I guess in season 4, he was dressed as a lady to try to, and he like kind of, as the narrator, jabs that.
That's funny.
So
I totally forgot. I love that show. Transparent was great.
And Jessica Walter just recently passed away.
Right.
She did.
Unfortunately, because she was phenomenal. And I mean, I only know her from Arrested Development and Archer. And that's enough. Like, she's great on both of those shows.
Dinosaurs. I got some old ass movie from Matt Clark, our friend. And it was a movie called Grand Prix. It was about racing in like the 60s, and she's in that.
Yeah, that's the thing. From my limited perspective, I saw her in Arrested Development, but she'd been acting for quite a while before that.
Right.
And it's just because I hadn't come across her.
Yeah.
Boy, Xanadu is great, and this Gene Kelly guy is really coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, that sort of thing, yeah. What's the Darmalars podcast? I'm Ben.
I'm Ralph. We used to cover Lost.
We used to.
But there's no Lost. Sweet Tooth is great.
I agree.
Like, we just watched episode 2 right before recording, and Stevie was like, wow, I like that episode a whole lot more. And I said, me too. I didn't have a problem with episode 1, but episode 1 had a lot of stuff to set up, and this feels more like what the show's going to be. And I was very excited about it.
Yeah, I really dug it.
A lot of stuff happens in this episode.
For sure.
And
move the plot along a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're talking about episode 2. Sorry about all the dead people.
Right. And big guy or big man doesn't say the line.
Doesn't say the line, but it was a line of dialogue.
Yes.
So.
And Gus, the talking mule, said it.
He's but the Gus, titular tooth.
But Gus didn't talk. He just kicked. Like, he didn't also talk, right?
Right.
I
don't think so.
Familiar with the mule cinematic universe, so I'm not too sure what he did what his superpowers were.
I think it feels like putting a hat on a hat to have the field goal kicking donkey also talk. That's, you know.
Then how do you explain the rules to the donkey?
You don't. They just kick. You know, he doesn't play like quarterback or defensive lineman. He just kicks.
Do they just like slap him on the ass so it's just a reaction and then he kicks the ball?
I
feel like a lot
like
of these
that.
Questions could be answered if we just saw the movie. I feel like we're going to get nowhere.
Is it Nobody Disney?
I think it is.
Maybe. Is it on Disney Plus? Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering.
All right. Gus. Yes, it is a Disney movie.
Ooh, okay.
Gus Watch Party.
I'm calling it.
Do we have to watch the whole thing to figure out if he talks or not?
But what if it's like at the end, like as he's going on, it's like he's like walking down the tunnel and Mean Joe Green, like, or whatever, gives him like a bottle of Coke or whatever. He's like,
speak for yourself,
Joe.
Moron.
According to the poster, Gus leads the league in laughter. So he's the miracle mule who kicks 100-yard field goals.
He does a hard work. Like, he like goes through training camp and he doesn't get any respect. They just laugh at him. what the tagline should be, Gus, what an ass.
It's too late now. They should have used that for the marketing. You blew it by not being born yet when the movie came out.
Yeah.
That's on you.
They rebooted.
I'm an idiot.
Disney now, so
yeah,
I'm sure there'll be a chance.
So my first observation for this episode is pretend I didn't read the comic book because,
all right,
one, it was long enough ago that I don't remember details, and two, we're off the map now.
It's different.
I have no problem with that. I want to note that even the beginning in the credits, it says based on characters created by Jeff Lemire for DC Comics or something like that.
Got it.
Which I think I don't know if that's necessarily it has to be like that when the adaptation is so different.
Right.
But to me, it sort of explains it. Like, okay,
that makes sense. Did you watch iZombie?
No.
The show iZombie is fantastic. Bears little to no resemblance to the comic whatsoever.
Uh huh. Yeah, you can have two things from the same source material that are both good, but wildly different.
Right. Never mind.
I did think of another instance of like the grumbling adult character that doesn't want to be in charge of the kid. An example of it that's not from Six String Samurai, and it was Mandalorian. That's the same sort of dynamic in the Mandalorian, sort of.
What about a boy and his dog?
No,
does the dog talk?
The dog does. You know what? The dog actually.
He does play tight end for the Philadelphia.
No, the dog does talk. I want to say the dog was played by Jason Robards.
Speak for yourself, moron. so good. so stupid. Credits
every time.
it's maybe the best joke in Billy Madison. It may be. It's so stupid.
Yeah, Jason Robards plays the voice of the dog.
Wait, it's seriously?
Yeah, just I'm double checking right now because I can see that he's in it. I'm just trying
it's,
to.
It's you know. Don Johnson, right? Don Johnson. And
no,
the dog?
No, I'm sorry. Jason Robards is just himself. Tim McIntyre is the voice of the dog, and I don't recognize this dude. And yes, it is Don Johnson as the boy, as the titular boy.
The story of a boy, a dog, and a universe.
So
Star Wars should have been the trailer for Solo.
So we're introduced to a new character in this one.
Annie.
Amy.
Amy. That's what I meant.
And, I mean, we got that shelter-in-place order back in March of last year. It was very concerning. I didn't know what that meant. I've never, you know, lived through that before. Mm-hmm. But this woman literally sheltered, like, right where she was. Just, I'm not even going
to
go home.
Way to plant, Amy. It was,
yeah. She even made it past the receptionist desk. She was like, oh, fuck, I'm out. It just closed the door.
Yeah. She must have had a mini fridge or something. Cause
well, she had a Snapple or whatever.
Yeah,
I thought it was urine, but it was iced tea.
So at least she had one new fact
to keep her mind occupied. Yeah. It's made of this best stuff in the apocalypse. So she sits in her room. She does her yoga and all this stuff, and then she goes out on the street and she sees elephants on the street.
Right,
and I'm like. 12 monkeys, right?
Exactly. I was like, and totally. Ben thought 12 monkeys, which is, I mean, 12 monkeys probably didn't invent that.
No, and I got to say, it's almost to the point where it's probably a trope. It's like, it's a really good shorthand way to show you how fucked up things are because
nature's taken over.
Yeah, nature's taken over. Humans no longer have the sauce to put the elephants back away. stuff like that. So and then I thought it was so funny to me that she went straight to the zoo. I was thinking like, well, that's the one place where she knows there's nowhere elephants. So she got to get the fuck.
Speaking of, did the hawk in the cage have a Snapple?
I don't think so. Why?
How did that thing survive the however long she was in?
Yeah, I don't know.
This show is fake.
Yep, fake show. Well, it's hard to tell how long the zoo had been abandoned or how long she was. There's that part where she's doing hash marks on the window.
Yeah.
Let's say it's like when we see her later on in the episode, there's no way of knowing if she's still in the same time frame as Gus and Big Man. Like, is she 10 years later or is she still there? Like, is it still the first week of her being in the zoo?
Well, this is where her story begins, so... Right. You can say it's probably just a completely different timeline.
Yeah, it's probably closer to the beginning of the pandemic. I mean,
it's one of my favorite jokes in Top Secret is Nick Rivers doing the hash marks on the jail cell. And he's like, thank God you're here. I've been here almost 20 minutes.
That movie's great.
I think a zoo is a cool place to hold up. If you know, I mean... If someone comes and attacks you, you might have a good plan to, like, maybe lock them in a cage.
Sure.
You have some stuff set up. You probably have maybe some guns with trank darts or something.
Yeah.
And there's, like, if there's bear pits, it's like, hey, I'm up on the cliff, but there's, like, a huge trench, you know? People can't get to you unless they know to go around the back where the handlers go, but that's your escape.
But if you know the
I'm bugging out to a zoo right now.
Yeah. And she was clearly cultivating some vegetables, too. So I imagine that's something you can do with all that. There's so much room in there.
Manure?
And with all the manure, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a good place. I mean, a mall would be optimal.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, it's cool. And it had a cool design to it. It looked like it was like a kitschy mid-century modern zoo.
And she when we see her again at the end, she had been sketching, it looks like, or working on art. She'd drawn a picture of to me what looked like two giraffes humping the statue that they had. Because the perspective as they like did the 360 around it was like, is that zookeeper? That giraffe's killing that other giraffe.
Okay, so I was watching this while eating, which I usually don't do, but I was on a time crunch. I missed what the newspaper said on the ground. And it had something to do with the virus. And
yes, it was something about the virus.
Was there any sort of clues in there that you noticed that had sort of a...
I didn't freeze frame on it or anything. I saw it twice. I watched the episode twice, once last night and once today at lunch. And both times I saw the newspaper and I didn't get anything extra from it. But based on the Tommy Jeppard's clip in the previous episode, it's possible that might have been a place where they stuck something in.
Okay.
By the way, we didn't mention that I saw him in the first episode after we talked about it.
Right. Right. And he's an NFL player?
Some sort of football. I don't know if it's...
They say
he plays for the Guardians.
Oh, the Gators. Yeah. I thought he played for the Gators.
No, I think that's what the dad says, is trying to remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
He played for it. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. I have no idea what the Canadian Football League teams are, but I think that would kind of spice things up a little bit if he was in the CFL.
They have like a different number of downs and stuff, right? It's like, it's crazy pants over there.
I really don't know.
And the goalpost is in front of the end zone instead of the back of the end zone.
And everyone says sorry. It's Jeopard, I guess.
The players throw flags that say sorry on it.
Gus is walking with Big Man. He's trying to get him to take him to Colorado, and he says, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, Colorado's gone."
Right.
And he's not really selling it, but he's not really joking either.
I forgot to mention it.
Well, he does think the kid's stupid, and the kid thinks that it's really easy to get there, and it's not.
He's naive and ignorant, you know. He's basically stupid.
So it's like, I'll just give this a shot.
Yeah. And it might have worked. We see that he has like a scar on his knee. And that's what I think we're meant to think that's what he's taking the pills for. Okay. And my old man's had a couple knee replacements. It kind of looks like that kind of scar.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I mean, he might have had a knee replacement, but it's like, it seems more dire than pain. The fact that he's also talking about medicine to the family too, like, hey man, you can get your med. Like, I feel like it's something maybe more ubiquitous or something plague related.
Okay.
Potentially.
It's funny because my mom had a couple of knee replacements and I thought, I guess that's better than a few.
Yeah. A couple is where you start.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know someone who's had like six.
It was a caterpillar.
Because it just kept going wrong, you know?
Oh, that's bad. Yes, that's worse.
Backwards.
That sounds terrible.
Walking around like a goat. Oh, put it in backwards.
So we get to see that Gus, his eyes shine like an animal in the light.
Right. Cool. Played for laughs both times. Really funny.
It's true.
It's really unnerving.
It is.
Because they're so, they don't blink.
And they just like, glow at you. Yeah. Like green. also, I think it makes it clearer in this episode that he does have like an enhanced sense of smell and an enhanced sense of hearing.
Right.
He can, I think we got a little bit of that in the first episode with the ears, that he could almost like triangulate with his ears. But
yeah.
When the climax, when they're being attacked, he's the big man relies on him instantly to like, hey, are there more around? And he can't because the smell's dampening, the rain's dampening his smell.
Yeah. And has some sort of mental connection with deer.
It seems like it. Yeah. That, why was that deer there?
It was awesome though. I was like, holy shit, that's rad.
There's a big ass stag shows up to buy a big man the time he needs to fucking hit that dude in the head with the bear trap.
Right.
That's the kill of the week on Sweet Tooth.
Right. That whole sequence was great.
Yeah.
And I was Big Man throwing every single one of them off the side of a cliff?
That's what it kind of
looked like.
he did that for a couple, and then he like nailed a couple with whatever he was holding at the time. Was it still the bear trap?
I think it was the bear trap.
It was the bear trap the whole time?
Yeah, I think so.
What he should have done is attach two bear traps to each other and made nunchucks. Bear trap nunchucks. Now that would have been badass.
Right.
Now, it was kind of cool. Did you ever watch Fargo?
The movie?
The series.
I saw like the first season, I think.
That might have been the one I'm thinking about. It's where Billy Bob Thornton like wreaks havoc on an office building, but we're positioned outside of the office building. So we, every now and then we see like a gun flash or someone flies out a window, and you can tell that he's doing that action scene was both dark and outside from us. We were not a part of the action scene.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a good subtle way of having a real cool fight.
And it probably keeps it the rating PG-14 or TV-14.
Right. Yeah.
Cause there wasn't really any blood with the bear trap.
It's a lot of implied violence.
Right. Right.
And a lot of it.
Yeah. Is the comic book violent?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Not on Invincible level or anything like that, right?
I would actually say it's probably pretty similar in certain... There's some blood.
Mm-hmm. There will be some blood.
There will be some blood.
Let's see. The moment we saw with Gus, the talking deer... seeing the trophy, the hunting trophy on the wall,
yes,
was pretty good. I like that. It's a nice shorthand on what the world is really like for him. Like he does it so far, he thinks like, oh, you can just walk to Colorado, and his main concern seems to be that this fire doesn't exist, mostly because he grew up fearing the fire.
Right.
And thinking that's the awful thing, but then realizing that his dad probably wasn't telling the truth. We get the Velveteen Rabbit.
Exactly. I have the same note that like what's causing Gus to lose faith in anything his dad taught him is the lack of the fires and the fact that he didn't write the Velveteen Rabbit. It's like, well, now how I can't trust anything you said.
Right.
Do you think that's why you saved the dog from the fire? Was the Velveteen Rabbit?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's why he had such guilt about it, and
because that's what happens to the Velveteen Rabbit.
Velveteen Rabbit.
I haven't read or seen anything.
Did you not? God, I felt like they showed it to me 20 times in elementary school. That and Toot, Whistle, Plunk, and Boom. Like those were like on heavy rotation on the 16mm projector.
Twice a year,
and every once in a while, the Red Balloon.
Yes.
Now that I watched.
So ultimately,
there's no talking in that one. I know that for sure.
No. that would probably be creepy if there were. Because isn't it like crazy foreign? It seems so foreign.
Well, I mean, I don't think something being foreign is necessarily crazy. It's just from another country.
Agree to disagree.
It's French or Belgian. I'm going to go French.
I don't know if I could have handled French when I was in elementary school. I would have freaked out. the Velveteen Rabbit, Ralph, is about a stuffed animal that is burned at the end.
Oh, sweet.
Right?
With the reason. Like,
it's because...
It's a real asshole.
They sent him to the chair for all the murders. It's sappy, but... but that's a good point, Ryan. Maybe that is it, and I didn't even put that together.
That's why I think he saved it, because he thinks that's real.
But it is nice that the dog got fixed by the mom.
That's right.
So it's kind of like throughout the episode, you'd see Gus kind of figuring out what a mom is.
Right.
And it almost feels like he's ready to settle in too.
I think he would have liked to, yeah. But I think he's also still maybe just a little too motivated on trying to find who he thinks is, what he thinks is his mom.
Right.
But I thought that this mom was great. She was so sweet. Like when the kids are playing, mm-hmm. and they're like playing Marco Polo with a gun. And Sweet Tooth turns out to be a crack shot.
Right.
And he uses his ears for targeting, like we said.
Triangulation.
Triangulation, yeah. And the kid's like, that's not fair, his ears. And the mom says, okay, well, you just have to find a different game that you're both good at. And that's like that's a very just answer to that question.
Right.
Which is also quick for her to pick up, being a parent of an only child. Like, she hasn't read to do that before. So
she doesn't have to keep the peace like that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she seemed definitely more accepting of Gus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I mean, you're pretty much this whole episode, you're like, yeah, why doesn't he just stay? He just needs to stay. We're good. Show over. Everyone lived happily ever after. You think they were going to see John Tesh at the Red Rocks?
At Red Rocks? That's the first thing I thought of.
Who goes to concerts there all the time? Yanni?
I don't know.
Who else has performed at Red Rocks other than John Tesh?
That's the only...
It is a popular venue, but not everybody puts out platinum-selling DVDs of their performance, but yeah.
didn't Triumph, the insult comic?
Yeah.
Go to Red Rocks, or he made a joke about it?
He made a joke to John Tesh.
Oh, I'm Teshy. I kid Teshy.
If I had Red Rocks, I would lick them.
Speak for yourself, moron.
Triumph definitely talks.
Triumph talks, but he can't kick a field goal.
Why? I feel like you should be able to do both. There's nothing in the rules.
So the family are eating masks at dinner when Big Man and Sweet Tooth first show up.
Right, they're paranoid.
They're paranoid. And Big Man says, critters don't get sick and can't pass it.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if we knew that
yet. But then he says everybody knows it.
Right.
Like.
So.
But he could just be a dick.
Right.
Yeah. Or they could have been like overly cautious. I mean, they don't know these people. But
that's the thing, is like this pandemic changes that conversation. Like.
Right.
People who don't wear masks that say, you know, whatever they believe in versus people that wear masks just to, you know, hey, let's play it safe and not not be assholes. But yeah, they had plenty of food too. They were stocked.
They had fashions of sweatshirts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
In the visitor center. I don't know if they are trading somewhere, but
they said like nobody knew they were there.
Yes, which when the bad guys come looking for them, they find them pretty quick.
Right.
Because the building's way out in the open. But
it's presented by this cliff face.
the fact that Big Man has some sort of like script, he's got MRE tokens, I think he said.
Yeah.
And he told them that they could trade it in town or something. He took their food and he's like, you can get more. Clearly there's some sort of infrastructure that's either the same or different than the one that the Dr. Singh is utilizing.
Right. There are little system. It seems like there are little sort of neighborhoods around like that enclaves. Have different systems.
Right. Right. Yeah. And much like, I don't know if you ever watched The Walking Dead.
I watched the first season.
I watched it for a little bit and I gave up on it. But and when you get in a situation like this, there's going to be this idea of you walk around and see all the different ways different people have dealt with, you know, the collapse of society. Like these people are cannibals, or these people have a perfect society, but it's because they're cannibals, or, you know, whatever it might be. Week to week, you'll find a new one. But I saw that the bad guys, I'm calling them bad guys.
Yeah.
I think they're the ones that
they have Jeffers a patch. Bought.
They have a patch. That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's some sort of like bullseye with redness on it.
Like a lightning or something. Yeah. It was hard to make out.
There's something through it or over.
But I'm sure we'll see that symbol later on at some point.
Yes.
It'll have some sort of meaning.
Yeah. It was on both. Go ahead.
Because Big Man wiped them all out.
Yes.
So they definitely showcased that patch for a reason.
Right.
So Yeah.
Yeah, and it was on the guys at the visitor center, but it was also on the people in Dr. Singh's town, the ones that made that delivery while he was waiting for the doctor.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if we've established where he is.
I don't know where he is.
I don't know where he is, but we know that the other guys we saw go after Gus were in Montana. The visitor center there was in Montana.
Okay, so they're going away from...
Yeah, so they must have a large range, whoever these dudes are.
But Gus and them are probably going away from Colorado.
Mm.
I guess Yellowstone does hit parts of Montana, maybe?
I don't know if it travels, but I know it's in Wyoming, which borders on Montana, so...
I know we went to, like, the top portion of Yellowstone when we were in Montana, but we might have crossed a state border... I could be wrong, but they're really close.
It's hard to tell sometimes.
But if they are in Montana, chances are they're moving north.
Yeah,
which is not the direction of Colorado
wants to go.
Right. Right.
And again, it's the same sort of thing of like so far it's like the Incredible Hulk or.
Right.
You know, Mandalorian or whatever. At the end, they go to a town, and then at the end, they move on to the next town.
Right. Do you think that'll be like a format thing?
I wonder. I kind of hope not.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, it sort of makes sense in that they're trying to get somewhere.
Right.
Right now, we don't know. We don't know where Big Man's trying to go, but we know Gus wants to try to go to Red Rocks.
Right.
And see John Tesh.
Round ball rock.
So
basketball. Gimme the ball because I'm gonna dunk it. Dude. Okay, just a little side thing. Tim Robinson, I think you should leave season 2, July 6th.
I know.
So excited.
That's amazing. Looks Are we gonna get anything this year?
I guess Santa came early this year. Yeah.
July. That's next month. That's so unexpected to me.
It's in less than a month. I'm excited.
Loki starts this week.
Loki's tomorrow. I mean, Loki started last Wednesday.
Time travel.
Yeah.
From the ghost.
Can I bounce something off you guys?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm looking to be fact-checked here, but I think I have a theory.
Okay.
So last week we were talking about how the doctor appears to be immune.
Yeah.
Or well, I think somebody threw that. I was like, is he immune or something?
He hasn't caught it. Yes, for sure.
Right.
Okay. So he goes to talk to his doctor friend to get more of the serum.
Mm-hmm.
And she asks, how often is this happening? She says every 28 days. And my first thought was like, oh, the lunar cycle, and maybe it has to do with the animals or things like that. But then I realized there's something else that happens, primarily to women every 28 days. True. And I started thinking together, it's like, we haven't seen a man with a virus, have we? We haven't seen a man with a twitchy finger.
Will Forte had one.
Oh, yeah, Will Forte.
Had a twitchy finger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's, he didn't die.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
Well, I mean, he didn't die. He didn't die because of the virus. I didn't pick that up. I thought he died due to injuries from his altercation with the person who was hunting Gus.
He did, but the injury he sustained was being exposed to the virus because that's how he remember he took that vial and like put it on a stick.
Because I was trying to pour something. I thought it was he died due to his injuries, not due to. Virus exposure.
He definitely had the twitchy finger, but I can't think of any other. We haven't really seen a lot of male characters other than the dad, Big Man, and the doctor.
Right. But I mean, the first patients that we see
are all women.
Could have been anybody, but they were all women.
Hmm.
The first person was the thing, and then you open up the waiting room, saw somebody else with a twitchy finger.
Yeah. And Amy's patient that had it was a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
so I'm not so sure. I'm still holding to because I didn't think he died because of the virus. I thought he died because he came back from the fight
beat up,
immediately affected. Like,
you thought he had like a mortal wound, sort of.
Yeah, and that he died because of that within a day or two. Breakfast. I know that I'm dying because he stabbed me in the gut or whatever.
Right.
I guess we'll see. We'll see what transpires. I feel like that would be. I almost feel like that would be too much. Because now we're dealing with basically like a reverse Why the Last Man.
Right.
And
but it does seem weird that you have this, the symptoms recur in a cycle every 28 days. So it's either the moon or their period.
Right, tied to menstruation.
But it almost made it sound like he got it down to 28 days or got it up to 28 days.
Right.
Because she didn't say, she asked how long between. So
I think that's right. It could be fluctuating. She's been working on it.
And but you could choose any number, right?
If you're writing,
you could say
meaning.
30. You could say 25. I feel like it's going to play into something. Like there's a significance to it being 28. That number has too much significance.
I do like that the dad correlates the showing up of the hybrids to being the cause of the virus. Right. Like it shows his paranoia. It shows, I mean, I don't know if he's basing that on fact or not, but it made it sound like this is something he just believes.
Right. And that we know for sure that the two events are approximate. Like they happen around the same time.
Right.
That's established. So whether there's a causal relationship, it would be natural for people to think that.
Well, they even set that up in the first episode, you even hear that in like some of the news brackets, which came first. Right. Did one cause the other? Did that? I mean,
right.
I mean, if we're, you know, drawing parallels to what's happening in our real world, it's like, this virus came from China. Like, look at what happened with people who were perceived as being, like, of course that's going to happen.
Of course the population
fear and ignorance is going to take over.
Fear and ignorance, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, when Dr. Singh and his wife look at the book of what Dr. Bell's been working on to make the medicine, like, it's very clear that it is, you know, beyond distasteful. It's
right.
Terrible, unethical.
Stevie was saying she thinks that they're experimenting on hybrids.
I agree.
I hear that.
Because if they're immune, because if it's set up that they can't pass or they can't transmit,
right,
then there could be something within their blood that is the key to the cure.
That would be a natural. Anyone that's immune, you would want to look at them.
Right.
Did you notice that? Go ahead.
I was just agreeing. It made sense because they say that the hybrids don't get the disease. That would make sense.
Right. I mean, it seems also natural because, like, that's the two things that are going on in this show are the plague and the hybrids, and that would be a great way to tie them together.
Mm-hmm.
But did you notice that part where Big Man has a brand on his upper chest, and the mom sees it and recognizes it?
Yeah.
She says, "You're one of them." And she says, "How many people have you killed? Did they deserve it?"
The way I took it was like these guys that showed up at the cabin or at the visitor center. He is a former version of one of those guys.
That's my thought as well. Yeah. Cause they speak. By the way, the subtitles identify the guy with the goggles that spoke as Last Man One.
Huh.
So just a little tidbit. Sometimes, generally speaking, subtitles will not tell you someone's name unless someone has said it.
Yeah.
Or it's been established. But sometimes you get a little weird little ticks like that. So Last Man One there. But he they act as though they have authority.
Right.
You know, we're here, you know, give us the kid. That's the rule. We're here under Abbott's code.
Okay.
Or something. And it would make sense that that Big Man used to be on a squad like that. And it seems like their job is to round up the hybrids. You know, that's all they were concerned about.
Because I was peeking at the IMDb page last week and I still had it up last week, 2 days ago, when we recorded our last episode. Last Man might be the name of the group.
Oh, that should be Last Man One.
because there's a last delivery man or delivery last man.
There you go. That's another, the guy that put down the suitcase when the doctor was waiting in the waiting room, probably.
Yeah. So that might be them. There's okay. a train last man.
Okay. There you go.
He just likes that band, apparently. Oh,
the last. And Tim Allen is the last man standing.
This is true.
That's
the second week.
Yeah. I can't believe that 2 weeks. Oh, by the way, where the place that the doctor was operating out of was a former restaurant called Lil Sheriff.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
Yeah.
And it had like a big Bob's Big Boy style statue of the Lil Sheriff.
I like that they said you could see the doctor now and went through like double swinging doors.
Yeah.
Like saloon doors.
They had all the social distancing signs up, like where he tied up his horse. And,
yeah.
And I've been taking pictures of those. That's like a special interest of mine. Like every time I go to a different restaurant or store, I'll take a picture of the social distancing stuff.
Just to see how good their graphic team is.
Just because it's interesting to me. And I feel like it's ephemeral. Like it won't be around forever. It's a thing that exists now, but it might not exist next year. So it's like, to me, that's interesting.
And you could find Keep Calm and Carry On.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, version of exactly. That. And like some of them will be unique. Like the one at Baskin Robbins is like, oh, you're only 6 feet away from ice cream. Or, you know, stuff like that. So what was I going to say about the guys? Oh, the guy that shot at Gus and his shot went wild and hit one of the taxidermy heads. It was a dart. It was not like a bullet. They're not trying to kill Gus.
Right.
They're just trying to take his blood for the serum.
Could be.
I like that the human kid was 11. He was 1 year older than Gus. So Gus is one of like the early hybrids.
Right. They said that Rusty was like one of the last.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because I hadn't up until that point thought that it was every kid being born.
Right.
Even though the nursery they show every kid being born, but it's just like, I thought that there would be some sort of mix or whatever. Right. But
So now it's also like a Children of Men situation. Like they're going to be running out of kids, like human kids at least.
Remember I had that Netflix disc for like a year, Children of Men. I never watched it. I never watched it.
That's funny.
I can't think of anything else.
We forgot to talk about what happened to Amy at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the old baby on the doorstep, like, honk, honk, later. And it was clearly the end of the episode and building up to something. And, she opens the blanket and looks at the baby and it's a little pig baby. And I just pictured it saying, that's all, folks.
Speak for yourself, moron. Wake.
Roll credits.
Penelope. was that Christina Ricci? Wasn't that she Penelope?
Oh, yeah. That sounds right.
Right. She was a pig hybrid and then wore a scarf around
her
face.
Or she had a pig nose or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's what it reminded me of.
That's funny. we've got to see a couple of hybrids.
Yeah.
Watching the cable car go away, looked like an orangutan and, I don't know, maybe an eagle or an owl.
Well, the panda looked like a person dressed as a panda.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they were hybrids or they were disguised as hybrids.
I hear you on that. But then the one, it was the same way with the bird one because it almost looked like they were wearing a bird mask. But the orangutan
But the thing is, I guess maybe they don't grow at the same rate, but they would all be 10 years old.
No, presumably anyone else that's born now is also a hybrid kid.
But would that orangutan be so big?
Oh, the most they'd be is 10 years old? That's a good point.
Like, would they be, a 10-year-old orangutan would be, like, big. Right. So that would make sense. But in this world, is the hybrid.
A human hybrid, it looks like they all retain the basic human shape and size. So maybe there are. Maybe there are people posing as hybrids, which seems like not a good idea since they seem to be
unless they're acting as bait to take out.
Like, hey, hybrids, come and hang out with me. See how we're all animal kids like you.
But like, I don't know. I feel like it's more like ceremonial or something.
Well, it was clearly it was an enticing little shot, because here we are discussing it. It was like 12 seconds of screen time.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, very.
Most fierce of all animals, the panda.
A bat and a pig.
The only other thing that I have on my notes, I think went through all my notes. Oh, just that Gus needs to take a zip-up hoodie.
Right.
He can't have a pullover.
He has like an undershirt or something.
Yeah, how does he put that on?
He steps into it.
I put my shirt on one leg at a time, just like everyone else.
Yeah, I really liked this episode. I thought it was rad.
Yeah, and we're off to a great start. Like, if you take like the first episode, the second episode, and average them out, it's given me great hope for the season. Like, okay, these people know what they're doing. We're gonna have a good time with this.
Yeah, the tough thing is though that now we're already a quarter of the way through.
Uh huh.
Like, that's the thing that's kind of shitty about it, but also, I like a nice tight story, a nice quick, you know, it's essentially two movies. You're getting
two movies all at once.
Yeah.
And then hopefully, I mean, it's like, in my mind, there's no doubt that if this doesn't tell their whole story, they're going to pick it up, because it seems to be trending huge right now.
Oh yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Oh, did you guys want to talk about the advertorial that got USA Today in trouble? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
Dylan sent that to me. So apparently they ran like a front page ad for Sweet Tooth on USA Today, but they made it just look like the news. The news was reporting that there's hybrid children.
Did people freak out, or did people say people are going to freak out?
I think it's more the second thing. I don't think that there was any. You're right. No. There's no real. I mean, there weren't any people that were like picking this paper up and thinking it was real. I can't imagine. It's just like,
I think it was more about the compromising the integrity of the news by selling out their front page to a TV show. I think that was the biggest beef.
To me, that's a better criticism than like, oh, people are going to believe it. That's a better.
And
criticism.
I think that's where a lot of it was. But also, it's like USA Today is not the bastion of like investigative journalism. It's
right.
Like,
how do you call USA Today the paper?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, here's what's going on, two paragraphs, like, and that's it, and we're moving on. And they also have a history of doing this, because I searched far and wide and I finally found it on the whatever, I can't remember what the date is, but in 2015 they reproduced the Back to the Future 2 Marty
McFly. Wow.
And they actually had two variants of
the good one and the bad one
of Marty Jr. being arrested and whatever it faded into.
Wow.
And I still have it. And that was awesome. And again, it didn't really diminish the, like, if the New York Times did that or the LA Times, that might be a problem. USA Today.
I will point out that they knew what they were doing, because they didn't include any articles about the plague. You know, it was just about the hybrid kids.
Yes. Smart.
Yeah. So, I wish that I had known that was happening so I can go and get a copy of the paper.
Yeah.
I just think it'd be cool. But I am, thanks to Ryan, ready to log on to the Loki Charms website tomorrow morning.
Good luck.
Oh, is that when it's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. 11 a.m. Eastern time.
Lucky Charms, when I sent this out as a text, like, it's an ass cereal. Like, it's not a good cereal, but like, it's Meow Mix. Somebody who said that it's Meow Mix. So I was like, yeah, it totally is. And they're not marshmallows, and they're like chalky, and they're terrible. But it's like, cartoon Loki is pretty cute.
You know what? I'm not. I have no expectations. Like, I understand Ralph saying good luck. Like, yeah, I'm just gonna go and check it out. Like, I don't care if I get anything on it. But I did go to Baskin Robbins. Oh, I did do something in between recording. I went to Baskin Robbins and got the Ghostbusters ice cream and the Ghostbusters slime.
How's that?
Have you seen this? Have you heard about it? I think you would dig it, dude. It's supposed to be like lime berry.
It's got coffee and avocado.
No, I mean it.
Topped with fish.
I'm not being ironic this time. Let's see. Slime your summer. What does summer fun taste like? Find out with our new sour berry slime topping. So the ice cream I got was summertime lime flavor. And then the slime is like, yeah, it was. It was. I've been having a lot of non-dairy dessert lately. So to have a couple of bites of actual ice cream, I was like, I was reminded of how creamy it can be.
and Baskin Robbins ice cream is just like a step above water on the creaminess scale.
Right.
Because out where I live, it's the bastion of like the best ice cream in the world, where it's like 98% butterfat and whatever. Mm-hmm. Cause we have Dr. Bob's, we have Handles and then Burton Rockies, which are all three like well regarded ice crematoriums or whatever they call them.
Yeah, we have one down the street. We have one down the street in Yorba Linda, and so I went there, and they had pistachio ice cream, and they had pineapple ice cream, and they also had marshmallows. So I'm like, I'm gonna make a Watergate salad. So I put them together, two scoops with marshmallows. It didn't taste great.
Sorry.
It just didn't work how I wanted it to work. But I posted it on Instagram, and they said, oh, we used to have a Watergate salad ice cream flavor.
Oh, wow.
And we should bring it back. And so, like, 3 weeks later, it was on the menu. So I'm like, oh, awesome. So I went down, and I got it, and it was phenomenal. It was so good. And so I posted that, and then they responded. And it was clearly the owner who's running their Instagram account. They're like, none of the teenagers we have hired there have any idea what Watergate salad is. They don't know what it is, but we're in Yorba Linda around the corner from the Nixon Library. So we thought it'd be a funny joke. I'm glad you got it. I'm glad you enjoyed it. So that was kind of
cool. That's really cool.
So now we go like once a week and get a scoop of whatever crazy ice cream they're making up. So it's cool.
It worked.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm all out of.
Yeah, I'm good.
Chat about.
This is your 12th podcast of the day, so I'm sure you're out of steam.
Need some shut eye.
Yeah.
Next week's episode. Well, not you know what I mean. The next episode.
Our next episode.
In one our week next. Is, yeah.
Is called Weird Deer, and it's probably shit, but it's S**T. So weird.
You're right,
deer
probably
shit.
Is shit.
And that's probably dialogue from Big Man. He's probably going to say like, "Oh, geez, I'm so sick and tired of all your weird deer shit." Agitated my sciatica.
So on the art, do I put the whatever punctuation is in there, or do you just put shit? Do you think that's Apple Podcasts would hate shit?
I think you stay true to what the episode is titled. If it's titled that. Right. Then we honor and respect that.
Do you think Hubert shows up? Are you sure it's Big Man or it is?
Hubert might show up.
Okay.
I'm looking at pictures on IMDb of Penelope from 2006. And, Penelope could just go out to the store right now. She could just put on a face mask and just blend in.
Yeah.
And she had a huge scarf.
Peter Dinklage is in this movie and James McAvoy.
And Reese Witherspoon.
Right. Catherine O'Hara. Damn.
Wait, Ryan must have opened it up too.
I did. I looked
okay.
at
it. No way.
There's no fucking way.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's going to stay that way.
You're absolutely right.
Let's put it in our queue.
Yeah, I guess head to darmlars.net if you want to listen to all our episodes. And I need to put the Spotify link up. So
please.
That'll be up soon. I did tweet it out. So if you want to get the Darmlars Spotify link that Ben created, go to Darmlars at Darmlars on Twitter. And
if anyone wants to send me a message at my at Inner Roster on Twitter, you can let me know if there's songs I'm missing or anything.
Right. Do you?
I did
you,
what I could. I think.
Can you add songs?
No, unless I share it. You know, you can make something collaborative, but then like what happens is it's like collaborative to the whole world.
No, can you put like my karaoke version of Reminiscent on there?
Oh, can you add your own song to Spotify? That's I don't know that at all.
I'll figure it out.
It should just play on darmlars.net like an old MySpace page. You just go there and it just starts playing.
Right. Mm-hmm. And an animated GIF of an American flag waving in the top left corner. And a world spinning around that turns into a peace sign.
Oh, good one. That's a good one. But it's under construction with the jackhammer right. and the barricade.
I think I might sneeze.
All right. Well, then there's.
So anyway.
Wait, let's go out on that.
No, I think it went away.
Okay, just kidding.
I very much liked how we petered out last week. I'm fine with doing that again. It was fantastic. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in 1 week here, or I'm dead in a fiery plane crash that Ryan predicted.
Let's just hope that Ralph's words will be ironically humorous and not darkly ironic.
and if they come true, then we're a duo, and we'll keep on chugging.
Yep, right. In honor keep of Ralph's chugging. Memory.
Yes.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I had a good time.
Yeah. See you. Bye for now.
Bye. we're all waving for those of you listening at home.
Yeah. The recording has stopped.
That's how you go out. That's how you go out with that. The recording has stopped.